Can we read first in Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For everyone, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one who preaches? And how shall they preach unless they have been sent? According as it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that announce glad tidings of peace, of them that announce glad tidings of good things. And in John's Gospel, chapter 12, John 12 and verse 3, Mary therefore, having taken a pound of ointment of pure nard of great price, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. And then over the page in John 13 and verse 6, the Lord is washing the disciples' feet. He comes therefore to Simon Peter and says to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou dost not know now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter says to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, unless I wash thee, thou hast not part with me. I want to speak about feet in relation to the glad tidings tonight. Your feet is your point of contact with the world. And your ability to move in that world. So it may be useful at the start to consider what path we're on, because every one of us is on one path or another. We're either on the path that leads to glory, where Christ is, or we're on the path that leads to destruction. And you know, this is a message that God wants you to hear, because it's relevant to you. Whoever you are, I don't know everybody here, but I know that the message of the glad tidings applies to you. It's relevant. You need to hear it. And God wants you to hear it. Paul takes a scripture here from Isaiah 52 that relates to a day to come when the remnant will be called. But he applies it to the preaching of the glad tidings, which is happening tonight in this room. However feebly presented, the gospel is being presented. And God delights in that. He wants you to hear it. And he wants you to respond to it. Because apart from divine intervention and providing you a Saviour in the Lord Jesus, we're all lost. It's as simple as that. We're lost. Without Christ, you're lost. We're all sinners. That's why the glad tidings is relevant. We need to hear it. We need to hear about a Saviour that God has provided at infinite cost to himself. So please just hear me for a few minutes, because this is important, that these glad tidings are offered costless to you tonight, because my Saviour paid a heavy price at Calvary's cross in order that God may offer salvation to you and I tonight through putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes over the simplicity of the glad tidings in Romans 10. He said, if you shall confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from among the dead, then you'll be saved. It's the simple facts of the glad tidings. You need to accept what you are before a holy and righteous God, and that is a sinner. All of us have sinned. Paul says in Romans 3 that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't match God's standard. And God knows that. That's why He's provided a Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a Saviour He is, you know. And so, you need to acknowledge where you stand before a holy and righteous God. You know, we will meet God. Every one of us will meet God. The word to Israel of old was prepare to meet thy God. How are you prepared to meet God tonight? You don't have to be old to die, you know. Death is the end of any opportunity of coming into blessing, of coming to know the Saviour. People think they can find their own way to God, that they can have their own gods. There's only one way into God's favour, and that is through faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other Saviour offered tonight. There is no one, no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. That's the simplicity of the word and the glad tidings. And you know, Paul's feet carried him to places where he preached the gospel. He did that in his life. He carried it to Philippi, where he told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I can't give you any more advice, any better advice than that tonight, 2,000 years later. It's the same message. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. He carried it to Athens, where he urged them to repent, because God had set a day where he's going to judge the habitable world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. Yes, the selfsame man offered as a saviour to you tonight will one day be a judge. That day's coming very soon. He carried it to Agrippa. Think of him talking to the King Agrippa. There in chains he was, defending the gospel, defending the glad tidings, telling Agrippa about a Saviour that he knew personally, that was raised from the dead. And what was the response? He said, in a little thou persuadest me to become a Christian. He was almost, you know, Paul got through to Agrippa. Was he saved? We don't know. But it's a solemn thing to sit under the sound of the glad tidings and to refuse it, you know. God will register your response to the glad tidings in heaven tonight. You've thought about that? You thought about God studying your life? It says in the Proverbs that God pondereth a man's ways. He pondereth his ways. That is that God's grace follows you throughout your life. God's grace brought you in that door tonight to hear about the Lord Jesus. And your response will be registered in heaven. Just remember that your response tonight may be taken as your last answer. God doesn't have to speak to you again. In wondrous grace, He may do so. He waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. He wants to save you. But He can't save you unless you repent, unless you accept that you need a Saviour. And the Saviour is available to you right in your seat tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Saviour for all, you know. There's no one excluded. Whosoever, the word is, whosoever believes on Him. Have you heard of John 3:16? There's the whole gospel in one verse. Because it tells you that you're lost. It tells you that you're perishing. But it tells you that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Wonderful verse, you know. But you know, my Saviour, in speaking these words, had to go to Calvary's cross to give effect to them. I stand here tonight to tell you of such a great salvation because my Saviour bore my sins in His body on Calvary's cross. So when I think about the pathway of individuals in this world, I must tell you about the pathway of the Lord Jesus. Because He came here to express God's love, God's heart of love towards you. Do you understand my friend, that God loves you. I was reading, as I said this in the Gospel, I'll just say it again. There was a monk, a medieval monk, and he announced that in the following Sunday, he was going to preach about God's love. And the Sunday came, and the congregation came in the door. Now, of course, it was getting dark. It was dark in the church. And the monk got up, and he lit a candle. And he walked over to the crucifix, and he shone light on the crown of thorns. And then he shone light on the wounded hands. And then he shone light on the side of Christ. Then he blew the candle out and left the church. The cross is where you learn the love of God. It's where you learn it. Oh, the cross of Christ is wondrous. There I learn God's heart to me. There my Saviour suffered. There God poured upon the head of my Saviour the judgment that was due to me. And he exhausted that judgment so that I and you could go free tonight in the absolute knowledge that your sins were borne by Jesus at Calvary's cross. What does the cross mean to you? What does it mean? The prophet says, is it nothing to you, O ye that pass by? Is it nothing? Behold and see if there be sorrow, like unto my sorrow, whom Jehovah hath afflicted in the day of his fierce anger. You know, the fierce anger of God fell upon Christ at Calvary's cross as he offered himself without spot to God to be the sin bearer. Have you thought about what Jesus has done for you? Have you been affected by it? Have you thanked for it? Think of the pathway of Jesus, you know. A life like no other life. Your life is very different from the life of Christ. He moved here absolutely sinless. He moved here a man in the will of God. A man with a purpose. He came here with a definite purpose. And that was to complete a mighty work of salvation, whereby you and I could be saved. That's why he came. He left the glory. He came into the human condition as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. He touched humanity at its weakest point. Oh, the grace of Christ that he should do that. There's a Saviour for the young ones. There's a Saviour for everybody. Think of the grace of God, which carries with it salvation, Paul says to Titus. The grace of God, which carries with it salvation, has appeared. Think of the Lord taking the grace of God to Sychar's well, to a poor woman who needed the Saviour. Jesus was wearied with the way he had come. Think of the feet of the Saviour carrying him all the way to Sychar's well as he waited for that woman coming out of Samaria. He's waiting on someone in this room tonight. Will you respond to the gospel? Will you accept Christ? What was the result in that poor woman's life of her interaction with the Saviour? Come see a man who told me all things ever I had done. What a result in that woman's life. Think of the Lord carrying the grace of God to Jericho, where there was two men that needed to know the Saviour. One was Zacchaeus, the little man who wanted to see the Lord and climbed up the tree. And the other was Bartimaeus, poor blind beggar by the wayside. Jesus was going out of Jericho. He was heading for Jerusalem to die there. For my sins and yours, if you'll trust him. But Bartimaeus heard that the Saviour was passing. He couldn't see. He was at the blind. He was begging at the roadside. But he heard the tumult. He'd heard about Jesus. Here was his opportunity. Jesus is passing by in Aberdeen tonight. He's available. Son of David, have mercy on me. Think of the Creator of the universe standing still at the cry of a blind beggar. He'll stand still at any cry of need tonight. That's my Saviour. Jesus commanded him to be brought. What will you that I do unto thee? Lord, that I may see. Bartimaeus didn't miss his opportunity to be saved. It was the last time Jesus was ever there. Know about tomorrow. I don't know if there'll ever be a preaching again in this hall, because Jesus is coming back and there'll be no more gospel. There'll be no more opportunity. It's urgent that you accept the offer of divine grace in the glad tidings. The Lord was here carrying salvation to where it was needed. And you know, few persons appreciated the pathway of the Lord at that time. Yes, the disciples did, and Mary did. You know, what Mary did was precious to the Lord. These feet were going to Calvary. These feet, 6 days later, were nailed to a Roman cross. But Mary takes the alabaster block box and breaks it and pours it out on the feet of Jesus. That was a year's wages. What would you give for Christ? How do you value Christ and what he's done? The world's valuation was 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. That was how the world valued my Saviour. How do you value him? He was precious to Mary. She had some understanding of where these feet were going. They were going to Calvary. They were going to fulfill the purpose of his life, you know. He was going in the will of God to offer himself without spot to God for the sins that you and I had committed. What a Saviour Jesus is. The sufferings of Christ are a study. We began with the Man of Sorrows this morning. What a hymn that is, you know. How affecting it is. Read about the sufferings of Christ. Read about how the Romans treated him. The Roman Empire will yet be dealt with because of how it treated Christ. But that never secured my blessing. That exposed the heart of man, my heart and your heart, for what it was. That's what happened. But it also told out volumes of the love of God that he allowed it to happen. These feet, as I've said, were nailed to a Roman cross. They could no longer run errands of mercy. But you know, when he was lifted up, when the weight of his body fell on these nails, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was still acting in grace. Oh, the love of my Saviour. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. He was thinking of all those who needed to be saved. All those that God wanted to save and express his love to, but couldn't, because his righteousness demanded that the matter of your sins and mine had to be righteously dealt with. That's what happened in the 3 hours of darkness. Judgment of God against sin and sins was dealt with, borne by Jesus. So you can go free tonight if you accept what Christ has done. You can have absolute peace in your heart, knowing that everything was cleared, that he knows every detail of your life, like the woman in John 4 at Sychar's well. He knew every detail of that woman's life, and he knows every detail of your life, every sin you've committed, everything covered by the blood of Christ. You got peace like that in your heart? Do you know that for sure? blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin, every sin. What a peace you can have in your heart tonight through accepting Christ as Saviour. He gave up his life. You'll be overtaken by death, you know. You and I, if the Lord tarry, death will overtake us. It would never have overtaken Christ. He gave up his life for you and for me. He went into death. But he couldn't be holden, couldn't be held by its power because he'd never sinned. Death is a penalty for sin. He'd never sinned. He came out of death after 3 days and three nights. Do you know, the resurrection of Christ is an undisputable fact. It was testified to by hundreds of people who saw him alive. The Muslims say he never died. They don't dispute he's alive, but they say he never died. The death of Christ was real, my friend. But he's out of death, triumphant, and has broken its power forever. Such is my Saviour's victory over death, that no person who has ever lived on this earth from Adam onward will remain in death eternally. If you accept Christ as your Saviour, you'll be raised in the first resurrection. If you refuse Christ as your Saviour and continue on your way that leads to destruction, you'll have part in the second resurrection. After death, the judgment. This is a book of truth. These are the scriptures of truth. That's what it says. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. John describes an awful scene in the Revelation called the Great White Throne, where the one presented as a Saviour tonight sits as a judge. And the dead, great and small, are all there. Those who've refused Christ. And you know, even in such an awful scene, the Lamb's Book of Life is opened. Think of the fairness of God. The names are all checked. Is your name written there? In those pages bright and fair, is your name in the Book of Life? Face realities in the glad tidings tonight. Don't trifle with God's offer of salvation. You may never have another opportunity. Oh, I urge you tonight to accept Christ as your personal Saviour. Don't put it off. Satan would have you put it off. Oh, there's always tomorrow. Who can say about tomorrow? We don't know about tomorrow. We were at the burial yesterday of a believer in the Lord Jesus who was taken very suddenly. You read the papers tomorrow, you'll find persons hurled from time into eternity in the moment. Accept Christ as your Saviour and come into the most wonderful blessing. You know, we need to just face reality as to what path we're on. God said to Balaam in the Old Testament, "The path in which thou walkest is for ruin before me." Think of that. Think of God studying that man's life. You know, it never affected him. That was a man that was heading for his doom. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh." Balaam will find himself in a Christless eternity. He was a man that knew the terms of the gospel. He knew about God's offer of salvation, but he chose his own path. Oh, dear friend, don't be like that. Accept the free offer of grace. Well, your feet is your contact with the world. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you can't help but pick up contamination as you walk. You can't help it. You move in a world, a sin-filled world, an increasingly dark world. How are we to be preserved in such a world? the washing of our feet by the application of the Word of God. That's one way in which we are preserved and how we need it. The Lord demonstrated to His own that this is what would be necessary for them. The glory of it, who He was, the greatness of who He was, laid aside His garments and put on the garments of a slave and served His own in the washing of their feet. And He urged them to do it for one another. How we need to apply the Word to our pathway daily. You know, the blood is only applied once. It never needs to be applied again. But the water may need to be applied daily. The washing of water by the Word. How valuable this book is. Read it. Read it in the morning. Read it daily. Get the Spirit's help to understand how it applies to your life. And keep free from the contamination of the world in which we're living in. You know, how lightly we ought to touch the world. It's coming under judgment. The world in which we are is coming under judgment. Let us be preserved through divine resources in such a world. And if we don't yet know the Saviour, may we come tonight before it's too late, for His name's sake.